Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this morning's Power Hour, Monday morning Power Hour, specifically the third Monday of the month, which is our time to spend with our brother, Andrew Griffin. If you didn't watch the previous two shows with my brother, please go back and do that. Today is going to be a time of discussion, mindset discussion. Let's talk about time. Let's talk about confidence, competence, and community. This is your morning huddle. You know how when you go to work and sometimes your boss may not bring you in for just a little bit of a conversation. Good morning, Simone. Just to set your day right, this is what we do on Monday morning. It's our preparation time. And for those out there, for the calendarites who are out there who we believe in the calendar, the power of writing things down, I didn't do the best with that this weekend. And we're going to talk about what happens when you don't put things in the calendar the right way. Let's be honest about the mistakes and the pitfalls that we have, even in personal and business. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to bring our guest up. I'm a whole paparazzi consultant, by the way. When you see me in my jewelry. Polish on Purpose is my business. I named it that because when you step out in the world, when you show the world who you are, show them something great. Show them something amazing. Men, women, we have jewelry for everyone. You may not be as flashy as me. I'm the MC Hammer of jewelry. Too legit to quit, but you may be more conservative, a little bit of pearl here, a little bit of silver there. That's okay. We really do have styles for everyone. And me, I go by where I'm going, what I'm doing. That kind of makes me figure out what I want to look like in that moment. But when I come here, I'm always prepared. I am the billboard for Polished on Purpose Paparazzi. So I'm here to make sure you know you have your own personal jewelry. Lady, don't let me catch you in the beauty supply stores buying jewelry anymore. I'm going to buy some handcuffs. I'm going to start arresting people because you don't need to do that. Go there for your hair. Go there for some eyeliner. Go there for whatever, but not jewelry. No, 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 no. You can have your own personal jewelry stylist that can style you with your accessories in a budget, $5 or $25. It's in the budget. I got you. Yes, Simone. Calendarism. This is what we do. All right. So come on in and let's get ready to have a great discussion about mindset, about competence, confidence, community. Let's talk to the Lord real quickly because I need him on this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I take a very deep breath, whew, and relax in you. Lord, I thank you for this new day. I thank you for the sun that I'm looking at and that's looking back at me. I thank you for the gift of life, the gift of health, even though we may not feel as healthy as we want to feel. Thank you, God, because we're still here and you're increasing our health. Thank you for strength, even though we may not always feel strong. Because in our weakness, that is when you, Lord, are made even stronger. So we can't forget the fact that we have you. You are our strength. Strength like no other. Reach, God, to everyone who needs strength this morning. I thank you for my brother, Andrew. I thank you for his sacrifice of time and his patience to come on and discuss what he loves, his passion, mindset change, business strategy. I thank you for his wife, his children, his legacy, his businesses. I thank you for the clients that are going to be calling this week for transformational speakers. I thank you for the book deals. I thank you for all that you are sending his way that will continue to grow what he has put his hands to in God, what you have ordained. I thank you, God, for Trailblazers Radio, how we are impacting the world one podcast at a time. I thank you for every supporter, listener, watcher who so diligently taps in with us. Whatever show is on, they're there. I thank you, God, for their commitment. God, go before us, Lord, and let something be said or done that lifts a bowed down head and give someone some ideas on how they can be better in their 9-to-5 and better in their business. And even those who have been afraid to launch out and start a business, let them hear something today that gives them that little jolt of confidence that says, I can do it, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God, we thank you. God, we honor you. We adore you. We lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, God. Simone, don't play now. You better be glad I ain't got no tamarind in here. Come on now. Let me bring my brother up here so that we can get started. All right. Welcome to the stage, everyone. Transformational youth speaker, musician, husband, father, all of that and more. And I know he's going to be on TED Talk real soon. I can see him on the TED Talk stage talking about changing your paradigm.
I receive that. Yes.
Telling you to see it. I could see it. Welcome to the show again, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So excited. I have to publicly say, over the weekend, things were coming at me, and I did not do the best job with my calendar. So, dear calendarites, we fall down, but we get up. Listen, I sent my brother a message like, brother, forgive me. I got something very serious going on that I got to handle. He said, no problem. I thank you for that, brother, because some things you just... they get away from you, if I could be so honest. We try to be so perfect. Even in calendarism and writing things down, there's a room for error. Why? Because we are human. We are human. So I want to start by reminding everybody, Dr. Griffin, it just rolls off my tongue that way. I want to remind everyone about what you do. You are a speaker, a mindset speaker. You are a teacher, because when you speak, if you haven't followed him, when we get done, go ahead and do that, because the reels and the posts that he puts out there, they're teachable moments. And I love that, because he's literally giving you a recipe, if you pay attention, a recipe on how to change your mindset, on how to move forward in business. But I want to hone in right now on the part of you being a youth speaker. Talk to me about why that particular demographic is important to you and what you do with your transformational speaking with youth.
That is an excellent question. The reason why I focus on youth is that for so long in my youthful stage, I had no confidence, right? I hated school. I hated my life at that area. And I knew, like, over the past year, once I started sharing my testimonial of not being able to read and write for such a long time, and I started to hear other people share their testimonial, and the roots were when they were younger. They hid and we hide so many things when we're younger. Why? Because we're fed our philosophies while we're young. And I was listening to Miles Monroe, and he said, the word philosophies are our belief systems. And the word philo means love. And osophy means to think. And so we love on what we think about all the time. And we develop our philosophies sometimes from other people. And it happens when we're young. And I even noticed with my own children and the children that we work with at the church that it's not so much the talent. It's not so much the talent. It is their confidence level. If they believe they cannot do it, they will not do it. Think about this. If you have a thought and you start to think about something, let's say you're thinking about a piano right now. Your mind, if you've never touched a piano, you might tell yourself, I can't do that. Wow. And so you're not going to do it.
Wow.
Let's say it is to play the guitar. If you've never played it before, your mind has told you no, even before your hands have touched it.
Woo.
And so as young people, we've told ourselves no. They did a study and they said by the age of 3, we've been told no an average of 40,000 times.
Jesus.
By the age of 3.
My God.
And we developed this philosophy. So what my passion is to help youth to rewrite that history. You know, if it's a short history, it could be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Listen, at 5 years old, Tiger Woods knew he was going to play golf.
Come on here.
At 7, LeBron James knew he was going to play basketball. Wow. And so there is, at age like 9, Oprah was interviewing people in terms of working on her communication skills.
Wow.
And so the young, when you work on that confidence piece at a young age, because once you get older, like if you interview someone who's very seasoned, let's say they're in 60s, 70s, they will tell you that one of the biggest mistakes they did was listen to other people about their life.
My God, today.
And if they can go back, they would write down what they wanted to do and not listen to other people.
Wow.
And so that's why the youth, I try to hone in on the teenagers and the young adults. But, you know, that message is for as early as 5, 6 years old. I've done it with my own child. My youngest, we was working on her mindset and her confidence at 3 and 4 years old. Her confidence. Having her listen to Les Brown at 3 and 4 years old. And so now she sees the drums. She's like, I can do that. She sees the organ. She said, I can do that. She sees the clarinet. She said, I can do that. She sings songs. She said, I can do that. She doing boxing. She said, I can do that. Why? Because of that confidence.
Come on, brother.
Now, if she wants to do it and she doesn't love to do it, that's a whole different thing. But when you cancel that dream out in your mind first, because of what has been fed to you over the years and years. And so that's why we've honed in on focusing on the youth. The message is for everybody, but I want to definitely reach our youth, especially while they're young.
You just said so much, because when you think about it, and I think Simone, I think is it 40,000 times that you say, brother, that we've heard that from a young age? 40,000. Yes, Simone. Sheesh. That's kind of what I'm 40,000 times.
40,000.
So it makes you think. Think about the fact that children are sponges. They're sponges. When a child is brought into the world, from the moment they become able to see and hear and understand. And if you're, and think about it. No, don't touch that. No, don't do that. I mean, sometimes you have to say no.
Exactly.
But here's the thing to think about. When you are raising a child, maybe there should be a few more words that accompany your no. If you just holler no instead of don't touch that because it's hot, it will hurt you. I think, thank you, Simone. I think that you just touched on the whole psychology of raising a child as spirited as I can be. You know, I found myself with my daughter becoming my mom, and I love my mother, beautiful woman of God. But in our home, her voice was always elevated. And sometimes the tone and the volume of your voice can overcrowd the message of what you're saying. If the no is the loudest thing you hear, that's probably the thing you remember the most. It was so loud. So when you are talking to children, I'm not saying that you should never raise your voice. I mean, it happens. But a true child rearing moment is going to involve no, because here's the consequence of touching a hot stove. Here's the consequence of letting go of my hand as we cross the street. Should a car come by and hit you, I don't have you anymore. So we need to have more conversation. Now that translates into adulthood. even in business, even as a leader. I could think about my team. We had so many changes, and we were always harping on what a person did wrong, 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 wrong. Mm-hmm. I said, well, hold on a second. How about we change how this conversation goes and say, first of all, thank you for showing up. Thank you for trying. Thank you for putting in the effort. I did find a few things that we can work on. Different words and a different feeling. Focus on you shined right here. You let them have it right here. Now here's a local area right here where I want to work with you so we can build you up. If we're not building each other up, Andrew, especially as children, the formative years, the younger years, the years where you think kids forget? That stuff will come up when they're 30 and 40. I have moments in my mind, brother, and flashbacks at some of the weirdest times, some of the things I've heard said to me.
That's right.
And how that, as strong as I pride myself in being, sometimes that thing hurts me. You keep hearing, no, you can't, you won't, you'll never. Mm-hmm. You're stupid. You're ugly. And a child will begin to conform to what they're being told and how much potential is being lost. So for you to say, I want to get to these kids while they are still forming their personalities, still forming their mindset. They're still in that moldable stage. Yes, Simone, how we place our words in a conversation is everything. Everything. Now, when you are speaking to the young people, Brother Andrew, since we're on that discussion of confidence, mm-hmm. I want to know, in your experience, what has been the biggest hurdle for young people when it came to confidence? What's their hurdles?
Their examples.
Whoo!
What they've seen. We shared the story of Steve Harvey about a month ago when he mm-hmm. went to his teacher, and the teacher asked, what are you going to be when you grow up? And he said, I'm going to be on TV. She said, Steve, you stutter. Wow. How are you going to be on TV? You don't have no connections. I need you to come back and do something more realistic. And of course, he's strong-minded. Wow. He said, no, this is what I'm going to do. And then now to this day, he sends that teacher a TV every Christmas. He said, turn, don't matter what station you turn to, I'm going to be on all of them. And so examples, I shared a story yesterday about this young lady. She was cooking with her daughter and she would cut off the end of the ham. And the daughter would ask her, she said, so why you keep cutting off the ham? She said, well, my mother did it. And then they called her mother and they asked her mother, so why are you cutting off the end of the ham? Mm. She said, well, my mother did it. And her grandmother happened to still be living and they called her. And she said, well, you know, the reason I would cut off my ham is because my stove was too small.
Come on here.
We're doing stuff and we don't understand why we're doing it.
Jesus.
And it's been because of the examples. You know, we learn by what we see, by what we hear, and what we speak.
Wow.
And in life, we got to work on those three components. We got to work on what we truly believe in our mind.
Right.
We have to work on what we hear or who we are associated by. And then we have to figure out what we're working on. Like, what are we actually doing?
My God.
And in life, if you're missing any one of those three things, the vision part, the hearing part, or the work part, you're going to be in trouble. You can't just do two out of three. You're not going to get that combination lock open. You can't do one out of three.
Ooh, my God.
And in different points of our life, especially in the youth, they'll believe, but then the people they're around are negative. And so now their belief level goes down and now they're not putting the work by it. Yeah. Or they'll be motivated in terms of they'll hear and read books and listen to podcasts, but yes, they really don't believe it, and they're not putting the proper work with it. And so our job and what we're doing is trying to fuse all three together for them to help them rewrite that vision, change that personal history, change. But the biggest hurdle has been what they've seen, their associations. They said we're the average of the 10 people we hang around the most.
Wow.
Right. And sometimes Think and Grow Rich is the number one business, or in terms of the entrepreneur book. Mm-hmm. And it talks about that one of the number one hurdles is the opinions of our family and friends.
Jesus.
The number one. And so in Think and Grow Rich, they were interviewing guys like Henry Ford.
Okay.
They were interviewing guys like the billionaires, these multi-billionaires. Wow. And they said once they got past the opinions of their family and friends, think about this. The Wright brothers, the ones who created the airplane, their father was, I believe, a bishop, and he told them that they were going to hell because they were doing something they weren't supposed to do.
Whoa, my God.
Most people don't know that. Like, they were so, their family and friends thought they were going crazy. They said, how are you gonna do something? An airplane? You talking about, we just got the cars. What you talking about? We gonna never fly.
Right, come on. Jesus.
And now that is most people's way of traveling.
Most people's, yes. Who would have thought?
So the biggest hurdle is getting over the opinions of others.
Yes.
Getting, because we all kind of want to be light sometimes. And when you go against the grain, you're going to look as different. You're going to look as to be weird.
Right. Come on.
So once we get them past that, it's okay to be weird. It's okay to be different.
Yes, it is.
Right. But that's usually the biggest hurdle.
Wow, that's rich. We got a few comments, and I want to welcome Auntie Emma is in the comments. Hello, Auntie. Good morning. I saw Mrs. Leroya Hurst Griffin. She says, our examples. Yes, sis. Yes. I see Elder Rhonda. Good morning to you. Good morning, Miss Marilyn Banks. Thank you all for joining. I want to address this comment right here. Simone says, for me, I need you to articulate your words in a certain way so I can fully understand what you're saying. And you have every right to need that. Mm-hmm. And don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong for needing that, Simone. How else? We all retain and grasp things differently. I can get up before a crowd of people and say, the color for the day is blue. Your mind may go straight to navy blue. Andrew may think sky blue. Somebody else may think teal. We all think differently. And when it comes to words and word choices, Simone, if someone is saying something to you and you don't understand, I'm just the kind of person that will say, what does that word mean? Mm-hmm. I ask that. Fred Beatty, the CEO of Trailblazers Radio, I'm going to call him Shakespeare. He comes up with some words. I say, brother, what does that mean? Because I don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And do not let anyone make you feel less than because you have a question. This is how you need to retain. So I'm glad you said that, Simone. Brother Andrew, when you talk about other people's opinions, this goes back to childhood. Peer pressure still exists.
That's right.
Even when it, now what was peer pressure for me in 1981 is not peer pressure for my daughter in 2024. When she told me, well, mama, I'm going to need a new iPhone. What's wrong with the one you got? The kids are going to tease me if I don't have the iPhone blank. Now, of course, in my time, we didn't have phones. We had pagers, but couldn't call nobody. Go figure. But because children have this propensity to, well, if you don't do it like this, or if you don't look like this, talk like this, act like this, something is wrong with you. And adults do it too. Mm-hmm. We are creatures who feel like if you don't go, do church like I do, if you're not in my denomination, jurisdiction, oh, if you're not this color of black, if you're not light or dark, if you're too big, we do that. And the problem with that is the opinions of others becomes our kryptonite. I worked in an environment where my leader was on me so tough about the most minuscule things that it destroyed my confidence. I'm a pretty smart cookie. I prided myself in doing a pretty good job. I had over 30 plus years of corporate experience. A lot of that was leadership without the title, but I did the work, training and mentoring and all that I had that God allowed me to do. This one person, I allowed her opinion to mean so much to me, Brother Andrew, that it broke my spirit to the point of anxiety, to the point of depression. And looking back on it, she was a product of her own trauma. Someone probably did that to her. So all she knew how to do was lead by aggression or micromanagement. But you have to get to a point, and that's why I love that you work with kids. Confidence at a young age, that no matter what teacher you get, oh, you got that teacher, oh, it's going down, you about to get an F. Because I know how to do math. I know how to be respectful. I know how to do my work. Because kids will have you thinking, oh, you're going to definitely fail that class. That teacher is going to fail. But why would they? If I don't give them a reason to. If I come in listening and ready to learn, same thing in the job. Oh, you got that boss? You report to her now? Oh, she gone. I was told that. Wow. When I got a specific boss, Brother Andrew, they told me she doesn't give good performance reviews. She doesn't give anything over this. She will annihilate you. My response was, she ain't met me. Because I come with the fact that I do my job. I don't care who they put me under. And they put people under certain people to break them down. Or she getting a little bit too high and mighty because every other boss has given her all these high reviews. Give her to Susie. She'll break it down. No. Let me tell you what happened when I met Susie. In our very first meeting, I said, Susie, good morning. I'm LaTanya. Nice to meet you. I don't know what you've heard about me, but you won't have no problem with me as long as you're fair. I will come to this job every day. I will work because I reflect me, my God, and I'm going to make you look good. Susie, we're going to be all right, right? We're going to be good, right? Because you're not going to have any issue with me. I don't abuse my lunches. I don't abuse. You got to tell me when to go to lunch because I work straight through it because I see his calls on hold. I'm not one that'll come to you and say, Miss Susie, you need me to work through my lunch? You need me to go help so-and-so? I'm that girl. As Susie and I got acquainted, Brother Andrew, okay? Our first performance review went a little something like this. I don't normally give anybody this review. But you done it. And in my mindset, what you thought? Right. But if I had maintained that opinion of, oh, when you go over there, she's going to break you down. You're going to get, less than what you're worth. No. I had to think that thing through. Say, no. I'm going to be who I know to be. Because they could change your boss anytime they want. The school can give you whatever teacher is on the roster. You can't control that.
That's right.
So if I had fallen into that rut of doom and gloom, it could have changed my work ethic. It could have made me scared. It could have made me retreat. Confidence is so key at every age, but if we can continue to get to our children, and then you talk about example. Parents, we're the first teachers. We're the first example. Stop leaving it up to the educators to do everything when it comes to your child. You ought to be the first teacher. And the teacher ought to be able to come and enhance what you've already been setting forth in your home. Now, let's go back to confidence. Brother Andrew, when our young people are getting ready to become employees and they're transitioning from maybe high school, college, because we had what was called co-op in high school. High school was a time to prepare us for adulthood and for college. So we had a job within high school. My last hour of the day was a part of the co-op program, and we would go to our job. What are some of the ways that a young person can prepare for the workplace?
Wow, that's an interesting question. It's interesting because in 1926, Henry Ford created the 8-hour day, 5-day-a-week job.
My Lord.
And we have used that to communicate that that's what you're supposed to do when you get out of school. We've communicated that you're supposed to go to school, get good grades,
yes,
get a job that you really don't like, and then when you retire, live on 40% of that.
Woo!
So what I preach or what I teach is to find something you love to do. Find something. So I'm not avoiding the question. I teach you to find something that you love to do. Right, yeah. Have the confidence behind it. Because when you just go after a job just because you think you're supposed to have a job, that is why Monday morning is the highest rate for heart attacks.
My God, today.
Because people hate going to a job. So let's go to a career. Let's develop skills to go to the career that you love to do.
Yes.
So what I teach or I encourage, especially young people to do, to find what you really love to do. And then let's go to school to develop that area.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
So I'll give you an example. My family would tell me, my brother, he went to Howard University. My sister went to Spelman. So they were looked at as some of the smartest individuals, like just period. But so individuals would tell me, you say, Andrew, you know, you can make a little money, make some good money just being an engineer. You should go to school to be an engineer. And so what did I do? I went to school to try to be an engineer. I didn't even like engineering. But because they were trained to go after jobs that pay a little bit of money and to go to school to try to get that, or Andrew, you should work in business or computer. You should get into computers because you can make some money, decent job, working with computers.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we're trained,
yes,
even in school sometimes. So that's why the parenting part is so important.
Yes,
because if you just leave it up to the school's job, is to teach your children, but they're preparing you for a job.
Wow.
What I teach is let's prepare you for life.
Come on, that's life why preparation. So many
people are so unhappy.
Ooh.
So I'm not going to teach you to develop these skills so you can get a job. For example, one of the youth that I worked with a long time ago, and I didn't even know I was doing it for a while, I started him playing the organ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for most people, they will think that's just a hard instrument, or playing piano in general is a hard instrument.
Right.
And he was contemplating just getting a job. I said, let's do this for about 6 months instead of getting a job. So he learned how to play the organ. And so he was able to focus in college while on Sundays making an extra $500 to $600 for 2 hours.
My God.
Because he was a singer. I said, you already know how to sing. Let's work in the area that you already in. Let's develop that skill. And so now you don't have to waste 20 hours a week at a job that you don't like.
Teach.
And so now you're tired. You can't study right. You're frustrated. Yeah. You still got to do your social things. But now you're all confused. And then you get out of college, you say, I just got student loans. I didn't really do what I was supposed to do. So, but now he's able to focus on what he really loves to do, which was music. So it could be anything. It don't have to just be, you know, learning piano. If your gift is communicating, learn how to communicate, learn how to interview, learn, work on your vocabulary, right? If your love is construction, now let's work in that area. Let's find somebody in construction. Let's be an intern with them. Yes. My point is, let's find what you love to do.
Yes.
And then that's when you love something, it don't matter how long you work on it. If you really love something, just think about that. And somebody said, I'm going to pay you for something you love to do.
Jesus. Holy Ghost.
That's not a job.
My God.
It's not a job anymore. That's a whole different mindset.
It sure is. Come on.
So even as I'm talking, I know I'm messing with people's philosophy of certain things.
Yeah.
Because you're not used to hearing that stuff. Come on. That's why 97% of North America, they are looking at the 3% who have all the money.
Wow.
Because we're doing what everybody else does. We're getting a job. We're making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. We're spending 40, 50 hours a week doing it.
Yes.
And it's not something we really love to do.
Come on.
They say, I don't care about the money part. You kind of do, because you're working 8 to 12 hours a day for the money.
For the money.
What if we could show you what you really, truly love to do? You work on that. You loving to do it. And so that means you're empowering people because you're showing your passion.
Yes.
And so I don't speak about jobs a lot per se, but I prepare people for their career. What do you love to do? Because the bottom, at the end of the day, are you happy doing what you're doing?
That's good. That's good, brother. I'm glad you approached it like that, because we only, coming from a baby boomer and living most of my life in the 70s, 80s, we didn't have these kinds of conversations. You go to school, you get a job. It really wasn't much conversation about some of the key words I wrote down, cultivating skills and development. It really wasn't a lot of talk about that. It was get some money to help with this household, just make some money so you can move out and be productive. But is it productive to get a job where you're going, but you hate it? And I want to go to some comments, and all of my comments are not coming on the screen. Y'all forgive me, but I'm on Facebook and I'm going to read them so we can make sure I get them in. Auntie Emma says, micromanaging and making me work hard. I will show you how I do, but as long as it's done and we get the same result. Thank you, Auntie. She says, LAG, work ethic started at home back in the day, and it should still start at home. Absolutely, Auntie. Auntie says, scientist's heart. A heart attack happened on Monday. Are you saying, Auntie, that a scientist had a heart attack on a Monday? Wow. LaRoya says, mess with that philosophy. Come on, Mrs. LaRoya. Good morning, Quint. Thank y'all for being here. Auntie Emma says she loves being a nurse. Here is what I've seen in my life. When you get a job, and you work that job, and it may even be faithful to that job, but it's not for you. Something's changing in you. Your confidence is changing. Your passions get derailed. And I know that we all need financial resources. I just feel like if we can take that time when the young people are in middle school or even before, as parents, you ought to have your eye on your children. I was that child who always, everything was a microphone for me. I would be like, good morning, everybody. How are you? Hello, hello, America. Hello, Detroit. You've won my heart. I was that child. Because I knew, even as a kid, I wanted to interview people. I wanted to be on a talk show. I wanted to have discussions like this. Even as a kid, I was supposed to go to Spex Howard School for Journalism. I didn't do that. I allowed my own fear because of my body image issues. I moved that out of the way and just took on what I knew how to do. Answering phones. And nothing's wrong with this. Answering phones, customer service. At least I knew I was good in terms of handling people. I always knew I had a gift of taking a bad situation on a phone call and then helping them turn it into a good one. So I honed in on that. And I spent over 30 years in that arena. And I loved it. See, I did love that. But there was some other stuff that I really wanted to do that I wasn't tapping into, Brother Andrew. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that dream of being a talk show host, that dream of having some kind of television show and being able to make money doing what I love, I put that on the back burner until I got a phone call from the CEO of Trailblazers Radio, who I had met through a sister, the COO of Trailblazers Radio, who I met through another person through a book club. Come on.
Wow.
Had no idea that these divine connections were happening. And then here I am in my second year as a podcaster. Am I where I want to be? No, but I just believe that God is taking me somewhere. And every time I get in front of this computer and the red button goes on, I get healed a little bit more.
Come on.
Because when I was growing up, having people bully me about my size, bully me about my skin color, being so inundated with negative opinions that follow me into my adulthood. And trust me, those opinions will follow you into relationships if you're not careful.
That's right.
You will pick people who you probably shouldn't be picking because you don't think you're worth God's best. The opinions of people can hurt us in such a way. So I thank God for you even saying that, Brother Andrew, because it goes back to our example for our children. Are you reminding your children about their worth, even as a child, about how smart they are, about how proud you are of them? Are you speaking well of them to them? And making sure that at home, you're creating an atmosphere of you can be confident in who you are. Yes, sure. I know you talk a lot. You've been bringing these threes and citizenship home. I talk too much. My mama knew that. I am a natural born talker. But I also show her that talking will probably be my career. Not everybody is comfortable doing what you do, Brother Andrew. You right. had to grow into doing what you do.
Right.
But as parents, we recognize my child loves to talk. My child loves to sing. My child loves to pretend she's playing the piano. Maybe she should get lessons, he or she. My child is always writing. No matter what's going on, he always got a notebook coming. Hold on, Mom, I want to write that down. Your child may be an author, some type of leader, some type of teacher. Watch what your children are doing that they love. When I was a kid, I also loved making people laugh. And when I created the character Online Church Mother, I get an inbox at least once a week. She needs to go on the road. But it's my natural humor, but I get nervous if I'm like, you have to make someone laugh right now. That just throws me off, to be honest. But watch your children and what they do. Andrew has girls. And when I look at them singing, they enjoy singing. I'm looking for America. I can sing, baby. I'm in the house hollering, y'all better sing. I'm hollering, and just their stage presence at a young age with their father's a musician. They've been around music and choirs and they were eating it up. And then finally, he told us during COVID, he sat down and taught them some things. Let's learn harmony. Let's learn how to play. And when I turned on that reel, you would have thought you were looking at the Clark sisters. These Griffin girls are the ones to watch. Mark my word. I'm talking about stage presence, smile, rocking, enjoying Jesus. I'm like, y'all better come on. But this is what we are supposed to be doing with our kids. Auntie Emma says, proof that a heart attack happens on Monday. Yep, because you're stressed about a job you don't like. Correct. Hello, Lakeisha Bell. Good morning, y'all. I'm sorry my comments ain't working right, but good morning to all of you in the comments. How does confidence, brother, affect competence?
That is an excellent question. I'll go back on the example you just used. Mm-hmm. The girls singing, really only one of them has a passion for singing. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you figure out which one that is. But we instill confidence in all of them.
Wow.
So they would even have the mindset. See, without that confidence piece, you're not even going after the thing. You're not even studying the books to go after that skill. You're not even around the people. So you can have a natural, one of them have a natural skill of singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it.
Yeah.
The others have the confidence to sing.
Oh my God.
And so when you fuse all that together, you start to hear that power. Mm. Even the example of, I don't know if we have people who watch sports, but the 2004 Pistons, they weren't known as the most talented group, but they won a championship.
My God, come on.
Because their mindset.
Come on.
Their mindset got them there. Their heart got them there. And we learned the word for heart in Hebrew. The word for heart for Hebrew means mind.
Yes.
And so that is your confidence level. Your confidence level will help you get competent in that area.
Come on to preach that thing, brother. Come on here.
So the confidence, that's why that's the starting point. Jesus. That starting point is the confidence, right? And you got to have the right. And some people have a little bit of confidence. And so right. We got to take your temperature on your confidence level. That's really what it is.
Come on.
Because we need to take your lid off of that thing.
Woo.
Right? So that is the starting point, because that sets in motion, okay, what is your activity? Once we got that confidence, that right mindset, now we start in that journey. And so yes. If the person's confidence level is low, when a rock hits that dream, or you stumble across that goal, you're gonna come off. That's just how that person is in January when they sign up for the gym memberships. By the time February happened, we know they gone. Because they never really started with a strong confidence level that this is what they're going to do.
Ooh.
You have to put a picture, you have to have that clear picture of yourself. Writing it down, you know, making it clear. We hear that all the time, especially in the Bible, writing it down. But you have to get it so clear in your mind that you see it before, you have to see the weight coming off before it comes off.
Jesus, I see it, bro. Jesus.
If you don't see it, you'll go 2 or 3 weeks to the gym and don't really see it coming off and you'll quit.
That's it.
And so the confidence has to be there. Another word for confidence is just faith.
Mm.
And we talked about faith means finding answers in the heart, finding answers in your mind, finding answers. The answers come with your confidence level.
Jesus.
Right? So if I really know who I'm made from and the image I'm made from, my confidence level is out the roof now, but it wasn't like that when I was younger.
Woo.
But once you get to the point where you say, if you could do something and you were guaranteed it wasn't going to fail, what would you do? If you were guaranteed one thing to happen and you knew it wasn't going to fail, what would you do?
Jesus.
Now if you just have a little bit of confidence, it's a little seed, right? we have a little bit of confidence, that has that chain reaction of now let's move into what's the skills we got to develop, who we need to get around. Yes. And now you're competent, right? Now, right? That's with that work ethic. That's with that that last piece of the vision statement. It is putting the work behind it, but actually writing it down. So now we know the actual steps to how to get competent in that area. But if you don't have confidence, you dropping off. Wow. Before we even get to that journey.
Wow.
The confidence.
I lost audio, Brother Andrew. I'm not sure what happened. You back?
Yes.
Okay. Can you say the last thing you said? Say it one more time. I didn't get that part.
I said you will be out of the game if your confidence level is not right.
Wow.
You will be outside of your purpose if your confidence is not right.
Yes. Yes. My God. We got some comments. Auntie Emma is my paparazzi accountability partner. She has asked, she says, Mr. Andrew, would you be open to doing a training for paparazzi consultants to motivate consultants? Isn't this good information, Auntie? Because we whatever business that you're in, this is the foundation, the confidence. Auntie Emma says, faith, trust in the Lord. Lakeisha, faith, says, faith, knowing it's already handled in your best interest. Come on, Lakeisha Bell. These are my sisters rolling through here.
Come on.
So here's the progression. We talked about confidence, seeing yourself in that arena. If you want to be a podcaster, you want to be a nurse, you see yourself helping people get to their rooms and helping people with their medications and taking temperatures and putting in IVs and reassuring them that everything is going to be, everybody can't do that. Everybody is not wired to be with you in your most vulnerable time of sickness.
That's right.
Everybody is not anointed to stand by you and keep you calm with a calm voice, answer your questions, no matter how, you know, minuscule they may be, but it's a question. I don't care if that patient asks you the same question every day, answer it every day. But we feel like we can't do certain things because, well, nobody in my family did it. Nobody that I know has done this. Nobody that I've seen do this has been able to walk this thing through. But what about you? What if you're that person? So we go from confidence to competence, how well you do something, your skill and ability being cultivated. Now we land on the final C word for the day, Andrew, community. So now that you're confident, you're competent, how important is your community in this process? As a young person first, let's go from that avenue.
Your community is almost what we got back to earlier. Right. What environment are you in? Your associations. We heard there was a book written by Sidney Poitier, and he talks about, I believe it was called The Measure of Man. And he said, when you see, when you go to walk with someone, they either adjust to your pace or you adjust to theirs.
Woo! Wow.
And so your community, sometimes we just follow other people, but no, your community needs some leaders.
Come on here.
We found out during the pandemic how many real leaders we really have.
Yes, we did.
And so the community is waiting for you to find what you love to do and for you to become a leader and step up.
Come on now.
How many churches do we have that they have to raise 10 offerings just to pay the light bill?
Oh my God.
Because we don't have anybody in that community doing what they love to do and making the money they need to be making to help their community. And so it all goes back to figuring out what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And that is going to allow you to help your community. You can't help your community if you can't pay your light bill.
Come on.
And you're not going to help your community if you're following everybody else and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not in line with your purpose or your passion.
Yes.
And so your community, what I would say about the community, your community is waiting on you.
Ooh, that's powerful, brother. Ooh-wee,
that's because there are two factors. There are what we call contributing factors, and there are internal factors. Contributing factors might be the things that are going on outside. So yes, is racism going on? Yes, is things that's going on, especially if you're a woman trying to get certain jobs. Is discrimination going on? That's outside factors, but the determining factors is what's going on inside your head. And so the only way we're going to help our community is we get our own mindset right. So that's how I would approach that.
My God. I want to encourage someone today. Specifically, let's start with my paparazzi consultants. Sometimes you just feel like, well, nobody's buying, nobody's watching my lives, nobody's paying attention. The other C word is commitment. If you have a goal, you want to sell 50 pieces this week, what is your daily method of operation? We call it a DMO. No matter what your business is, you have to have a DMO, a daily method of operation. What am I going to do? Action to put my business out there, whether I am going to be a podcast guest, whether I'm going to go live somewhere, whether I'm going to post some pictures, reels, story. I just started doing TikTok, child. I didn't know what that TikTok was about, but that's what y'all looking at. So I gotta do some TikToks. I gotta open up and stop being scared of technology. But the commitment, no matter whether you have one person in your lab that night, the power of the replay. I have waking up in the morning to orders. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the replay. Facebook, you did a good job with that. That way they can play it whatever time they are able to. Because as you may know, those of us who are in direct sales, when you go live, certain times of the day may bring more people than others. You got to do a market study. You got to try different things. Try 8 a.m. Try noontime lunch. They could be snacking and shopping and spending good money. Try 6:30 while they're getting the greens and cornbread together for their family. They could be watching you go live shopping. I did a 10 o'clock p.m. live. Now, I'm old. I'm normally turning over and, you know, getting good and in my sleep by 10. I'm pushing 50. Shady Pines, nursing in heaven, rehearsing. But I went live at 10. I had more people in the room at 10 p.m. than I did at 12 p.m. People probably at work. People are up all night on social media. You may get sales at 2 a.m., depending on who's out here watching their phone. Auntie Emma says, Lord, I had some 2, 3, and 4 calls to meet my patients at the office to keep them from the emergency room from 5 hours to 4 minutes. No patients love you, I'm sure, Auntie Emma. I'm sure. But when you have your confidence in place, Lord, you know what my goal is. And I told my accountability partner what my goal is. Thank you, Simone. Daily mode or method of operation. Who are you accountable to? Stop hiding your goals. How can they hold you accountable to what they don't know? If you said you want to sell 50 pieces, tell your accountability partner. And if he or she don't see you online or using some kind of DMO, they're going to say, I don't see you live. I don't see you posting. How are we going to move these pieces? That's what an accountability partner is for. But your confidence comes from you and from God. If you know, and I know for myself, this business works. I love jewelry. My personality is bling. So a lot of it is just me talking and being who I am. When you said this, Brother Andrew, find something you love to do. And it don't feel like a job. It feels like me just being me for an hour and making some money while I do it. It's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
Confidence comes from also what you tell yourself. Would you agree with that, Brother Andrew?
That's right. That's where it
if
starts.
You keep on saying out of your mouth, here's Monday. It's going to be the worst week ever. It's a bad day. Here we go. Time to make the donuts. I know I'm going to have a bad day. Yep, you are. You just said it. You sealed it. That settles it. But if you command your day, get you some good scriptures, some good positive affirmations, I'm going to sell everything that I show tonight. And if I don't sell it tonight, by tomorrow morning, it's going to be gone. Your customers are attracted to your confidence, people in direct sales. So if you go live and you humdrum, item number three is a earring. Thank you. Item number four is I guess it's cute. I probably wouldn't wear it. But I ain't buying. Scrolling past you fast. So you can't expect people to get excited about what you're not excited about. That's in life.
That's right.
We got to wrap up. Let me check my comments. And welcome to everybody who's in the room. Feel free to tag your teams because Brother Andrew is giving us strategy for any kind of business. Before we go, let's talk about the Power Center, Brother Andrew.
So we do have an event space, which we call the Power Center. But it's a space that we created to help entrepreneurs, you know, startup businesses, people who want to have like pop-up shops,
yes,
business seminars. And it was an absolute testimony because you're looking at a person who used to look for ATMs that dispense dollar bills, who used to go to the sides of the Wendy's and McDonald's to get change.
Come on.
And what I said, let's create a store. Let's buy this building in 2 years. And let's renovate it in another 2 years. And we did that. And so I use it as a testimony.
Yes, God.
And we just call it the Power Center because I want you to get some power when you walk in there. Woo! I want you to be able to do some stuff that you weren't normally able to do before.
Yes.
And so we're still, you know, getting everything together, but it is up and going. I always encourage individuals, especially who wants to do like pop-up shops, who wants to do seminars, wants to get their teams together, to just have a nice area, nice event space to have it at. But it's really set for, you know, just to have a testimony that you can do anything you put your mind to.
Come on. That's right. Now, I want to talk really briefly about what you do as a transformational speaker. You just recently had your Change Your Paradigm conference. Can we look forward to that coming back, brother?
Absolutely. So we're next year, around the end of March, beginning of April, we're going to have our Change Your Paradigm. It's going to be a little bit different because we have to charge just a little bit. The reason why we charge is when you pay attention. It just is what it is.
Yes,
sir.
Pay, come on.
You pay attention. And my heart always wants to give people stuff for free, but they don't take it seriously. They don't take it seriously. So we're going to do that again. Next year, at the end of March again, my sister will be a part of it. We're going to make sure you're a part of it in terms of one of the speakers. So get ready. We are excited. But as our work as a speaker is clearly helping people with their visions for themselves, helping them with their confidence. We want to create bulletproof confidence.
I love that
subject for the last few years. Right. And so I know I can tell in 2 minutes just by having a conversation with you what your confidence level is.
Wow.
I can tell in 2 minutes and sometimes less than that.
Wow.
And so we developed a program and we are launching a book in a few months that's going to help individuals increase their confidence.
Mm.
And so now you can go into the areas that you really always wanted to be in.
Yes.
But somehow you've been stopped. And somehow you stopped yourself, or you let other people stop you from what you're supposed to do. And so we just developed that system to help people navigate through life, because life can be cumbersome. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. And so what we want to help individuals with that, especially our youth, with their confidence level.
I love it. I want to leave today with just telling everybody a little bit about my own personal experience. I had my first Sunday morning speaking engagement yesterday.
Wow.
I had never been behind a person's pulpit by myself, the only speaker. I have been a part of like the last seven words of Christ. I did that with my brother's church, but to be someone's one and only Sunday morning speaker, all the pressure was on, brother. And I'm telling you, and because of my area of comfort is corporate speaking, I've never really felt comfortable as a spiritual speaker or not a quote unquote preacher or speaker at church. I never felt the confidence. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't know all the scriptures by heart. I don't know all the, you know, Elisha begat this one, and I don't know all of that by heart. But here's what I did. Because God had been giving me a word. And I said, well, where do you want me to give this word? I'm just going to keep writing it out until the time frame comes to speak this word. And when Lady Evelyn Brown, shout out to God's Grace Church of God in Christ, where Superintendent Michael Brown is our pastor. I have two churches. I have an honorary church and my church. So when I got the call from Lady Brown, I did say yes, because I told God that I would, brother. Now, I, being who I am, I prepared the same way I would do a work presentation. I had my title. I had my scriptures. I did my studying. And my daughter said this to me, Brother Andrew. She said, Mama, you're not going to even use that. You do this every time you get ready to speak. You get all nervous going over these papers for hours. And you, because that's how I prepare for work. Mm-hmm. It's my corporate brain. I have my outline, you know, you work your outline, you know, that's how my mind works. So I got all my stuff all together, get to the church, Brother Andrew, and the podium is only this wide. I'm like, well, I got notes. I got tons of notes and my Bible. So when I sat my Bible down and got done with my scripture and went to go pull my notes out, I pulled out the wrong page. So I said, well, Lord, I guess it's just going to be me and you. And when I tell you, I'm like, okay. In my head, I'm like, I need my notes. I need my notes. But when you trust God, and when God has ordained you to do a thing, when I tell you, he was just telling me what to say. It ain't nobody but God, y'all, because I am a corporate speaker. I'm used to having my cue cards, my outline, the teleprompter, the PowerPoint presentation. But once I closed my Bible after my scripture, it was all God. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that to say, preparation is okay. Have a plan, do your due diligence. But at the end of the day, if you really believe and have faith in God, yield to him. Whether it's in business, whether it's in ministry, yield to him. I guarantee you he'll come through. He did it for me, and he's done it for me over and over. And thank you. We got comments in here. Yes, Lakeisha Bell, it was self-doubt. Thank you, Auntie Emma. She says, congratulations. I encourage you to trust him. For those who are in direct sales, when you get ready to go live, pray first. Lord, I want to sell everything that I show. I want to get online orders too. I want put out, make your petitions known unto the Lord in business and your personal, even in your relationships. We got to get out of here. Every third Monday, my brother will be here on Monday Power Hour. So even if you don't get a morning huddle at your job, you get one here with us. Mm-hmm. You get one here. Brother, I thank you. To all my churches, it's conference season, and you want to motivate your members, you need to call Brother Andrew. Businesses, get your employees motivated for this quarter. called Brother Andrew, school systems, teams, you need a speaker. This is the person. His mindset shift discussions that we have are priceless. We got to get out of here. I thank you all for joining. Please tag and share. Until next week, I'll be back next Monday. I'll be back tomorrow for Girl Chat Weekly. Brother, thank you. You're welcome. Truly appreciate you. We'll be talking soon. Have a good evening, a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.